will enjoy with his companion. Because with the Lord, we can give up the entertainment. We find our meaning of life. So our behavior will be different. Okay? So now we continue in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. The life of the reality of life is no matter how many years we live, the end is always the same. Die. So one day we are all going to just lay down, and people may, some may just come to view it, but some don't care. So you don't consider yourself so important. Yes, actually, we are nothing. When we pass away, who will come to pay respect, say, let me take a look of his final face? Because at the time, we are not a beauty. Right? People may die in different forms. So nobody cares. So at the end, everything turned to zero, just equal. But our difference is beyond the death. Enosh means sacrifice. Sacrifice. He did not live for himself, but all are for the Lord, for God. Sacrifice, right? So, our life is a gift of God to our parents. Every single one. Every single one. We have life in this world because God's love. God granted the parent the reward, right? Gift. So we have to think about God loves me. He allows me to live on the earth. He let me grow up in this particular family. What can I do for the family? Is my family become more godly because of my existence? Or it become more chaos or more sorrowful because of my existence? I believe in the beginning, every child is the delightment of the parents. We have been given an important purpose to the family. So always think that you need to do something for your family. Bring the family together into this God's path. Sacrifice is actually, we give up something for the Lord. So Enosh, his life is a sacrifice. Okay? He lived for the Lord. So the two extremes at the seventh generation of Adam, because Enosh, he is the seventh generation from Seth. But the seventh generation from Cain is a Lamech. You see how this is a comparison, no? Enosh in chapter 5, verse 11, right? Enosh in verse 11, yes. That's in Enosh, right? And then eventually we'll see how Enoch, not Enosh, Enoch. If we count the generation, it's Enoch and Lamech. So in verse 20, 65, at age of 65, he begot a son. Actually, he's a in verse 21, let's read verse 21 to 24. Brendan, please read. Chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. Chapter 5. Okay. So, you know, lived 65 years and then begot the Matusalat. So this, through God's revelation, he knew that when his son died, God will render judgment. Therefore, he named his son Matusalat. When he dies, something big will happen. It's meaning, special, this long name, right? When he dies, something, big things will happen. So basically, he predict or prophesied a big event is coming after this son. So this is called revelation. This message comes from God. So, Enoch, in the New Testament, he's become like a prophet. Let's turn to Book of Jude. Book of Jude. And not only that, actually, he also prophesied the coming of the Lord to judge all. Jude, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15, Carol, please do it. Thank you. So Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment unto all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. And of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." How many ungodly? Right? It's so-called ungodly. Repeat again and again. This is talking about that generation. But Enoch, he already foresee what is going to happen after his son Matusalah. So, you can see the life of Enoch is the shortest one among the generation before the big flood. Enoch is the one who lived the shortest life on the earth. But he is the one actually transpassed. He skipped the death. He also is the seventh descendant of Adam. You compare the seven, Lamech, he also the seven, but Enoch This is the seven. Godly and ungodly. This is the contrast. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Regarding Enoch. Okay? Chapter 11, verse 5. Brother. Chris, please read. Okay. So before God translate him, for before his translation, he had this testimony or evidence that he pleased God. His life pleased God. He received the evidence. So we will see how by faith Enoch walked with God. Right? So he has heart of reverence, enabling him to fear God in his life and walk with God. Whole life, you can see that after he begot son at 65, the rest of son 300 years, every day he walked with God. Can you imagine what kind of lifestyle he had? Not only one day, not only 1 year, 10 years, but 300 years. The same day with us, 24 hours a day. Walking with God for 300 years. So, his life basically is God-centered. He had to really give up all his desires. Right? So, he must align his heart with God. So, when Enoch saw all the wicked things in the world, his heart must be grieved. He considered the destruction is coming. But people are just like crazy. They are blind. They don't know what happened later. Right? They just have short sight to say, oh, let's enjoy the life right now. But later, the big destruction come, and then it's too late. So we will see how he predicted the big flood at the time of Noah. So we just cannot emphasize enough. That's how we receive training, the seminar. The purpose is always, you know, through reading the scripture, we learn the lesson, we change our lifestyle, we really find enlightenment or the delightful moment in reading Bible, pray, attending church service. So what he preferred and thought was all in accordance with God's will. He was in unity with God until the day he was taken up. So unity with God. You know, sometimes we can just good for a certain period of time. We may just be good during the college. After we graduate, we have a lot of things to do. We have our own career, you know. Or we still remain the same ferment, same zeal in serving. But after we got married, we have children, and then our heart deviate from the Lord. Then we put more cares about our family, more than the Lord. Then eventually, the kids become our idols because we serve the kids that much. You know, some parents treat their kids, their babies, just like an idol, you know. Everything according to God, the baby's schedule, not the baby to fit in the worshiping schedule. So when a young couple, if they have kids, then they disappear from serving the Lord. They disappear from attending the service during the weekday. Because what? Because my baby needs to go to sleep at 8 o'clock. Sorry, I cannot attend. We have a young couple. His baby came to receive the water baptism. You know what? We're supposed to remain in the church until we finish the foot washing and the Holy Communion and go home, right? After Holy Communion, then we have one meal, and then we clean up the church together, then finish it, then we go home. But this young couple, not doing that way. After baptism, they disappear from the church. We are looking for, where's the baby? Because the baby haven't received the foot washing yet. Oh, later find out. The parents drive the baby home. Why? Because the baby have to sleep at home in his own crib. So just let baby sleep during this from 12 until 2:30. Because this is how baby have to their schedule. Then find out, disappear. Call the parents. Bring your baby back. This is a young couple. Used to be very fervent in serving the church. But when they have baby, they treat the baby just like they're gone. Can you imagine what kind of the truth we have learned? You can see the Enoch, right? So we have to really walk with the God. Treat God as our God. He's my Lord. He is my center. Don't be deviated because of other things or other person. Remain the same faithfulness. This is very important. So what he preferred and thought was always in accordance with God's will. This is our goal. Submission to God and walking with God isn't something that is temporary. You know, during the NYTS, these 2 weeks, some of you behave very well. Yes, thank God. Because you know what you're supposed to do in just 2 weeks. But how about after you go home? You are in your own. You go to your dormitory. You know, if you are away from home, attending school, you are your own. Are you going to remain the same lifestyle? Or you just behave just like your classmate, your friends? So we walk with God, not temporary. We must make it our life. No matter where I am, I will always do the same thing. On Sabbath, or I always honor it. I worship God first, put God my first priority. This is called walk with God. So, let's change it. Without change, we may temporarily be good, but that's not good enough. Make this lifestyle become our own. So, every day we read Bible. We really care about our spiritual life. We count the cost. If I commit sin, then all the seminars, all the resource the church put on every single one of you, you just diminish the purpose. So let's remain the same faithfulness from beginning to the end. So no matter in what stage we are in life, single or married, in college or in career, doesn't matter. Okay? So that's how we follow the ancient saint footsteps. So having son and daughter did not prevent Anna to walk with God. Some of you, after we have children, then in the beginning, maybe the two couple serve together, attend church together, but after they have a baby, and then one representative, just one, if the husband as a council member, and then just the husband attend the service, then the wife, child, at home. So Bible particularly mentioned they have a sons and daughter, but they continue to walk with the Lord. So raising a family doesn't affect our life. We're supposed to walk with the Lord, no matter what. Okay? So, in walking with God, he gave up. He gave out warnings and prophesied the final judgment. The Lord will appear in front of the humankind and then will judge all those ungodly deeds, ungodly speeches, ungodly heart. So one day we will all face the same judgment, the same Lord. We have to really remember all we have done on this earth. One day we will all present one by one to the Lord. If we don't care, then we just wait that day to see how trembling we will be. But at that moment, that's too late. Okay? Don't put ourselves in that position and then we regret. And then God will say, sorry, I don't know you. Right? Even though we may serve the Lord. God, do you remember? I did it. Right? I do serve you. I love you so much. But sorry, God said, I don't know you. And at that moment, where is your heart going to melt? Then it's just a melt, right? Because the destination will be death. So, but you consider the result of walking with God. He was not dead because God took him. He did not go through the death and the judgment. So his time in front of God was counted as timeless, limitless, eternity. So Enoch lived on the earth only 365 years. But in reality, he lived forever. He lived forever. So his life even more meaningful than the rest of the his fellow relatives. Right? Why? Because he walked with God, the Lord. He walked with God for 300 years. This lifestyle showing he really believed in God. He really put his hope in heaven. He cared about God more than himself. So by faith, he was taken up. He changed himself. Okay. So, according to this genealogy of Adam, the history of mankind was only a few thousand years old, right? If we count, you know, add up the genealogy, how many years Adam lived and then Seth lived, and you accumulate together, how many years? Probably about 6,000, right? 6,000. So there's a big contrast with the year the scientists have calculated. How do we understand this? I believe your friends may challenge you. So they use the evidence saying Bible is wrong. What are you going to defend? So remember, genealogy, the Bible recorded the genealogy. What is the purpose? He's not going to just to let you know, this is our whole human history from generation after another. This is a book of salvation. This is not a book of history, remember. Okay? So, if we use Bible as a base and then to argue with others, we always will find out not enough evidence. We have to turn the back from the very beginning about what is the Bible for. He's talking about salvation. So, this actually comes from this particular archbishop in 17th century. This archbishop, he calculate. You know, you are good in numbers, and then you add it up. About 6,000 only. How come? How come the human history is so short? Right? The genealogy actually is just show us a generation. In between, maybe it's a lot of gap. We don't know. Because in the Hebrew, the father or the son, not necessarily the immediate son, is a descendant or the grandson, grandchildren also called son. You know, so the generation, we don't know how many gaps there. So we cannot just use our scientific way to say, okay, this is it. Because we are so structured, right? 1 plus 1, 2, right? 2 plus 4 is 6. And you just add it up. But genealogy is not for this purpose. Not talking about the entire length of time. No. So, for example, the genealogy of Jesus in book of Matthew and also in book of Luke. From different angles, from different systems, they record the same genealogy, the same life of Jesus on the earth, but from two different sets, right? So we know when we look at genealogy of Jesus, and then you flip back to the Old Testament to see how it links together, you always find out, oh, actually, there's a lot of gap. Let's skip some generations. Because to the author, this is not a purpose to give you the exactly, precisely the sequence. But he just give us, this is the line from beginning to now. So we check back to the original. This is the beginning. And then we find out, yes, this is a fact that our human being come from the Lord. He is the first reason. And then this is why we have today, we have life right now. Right? So, Matthew chapter 1 verse 8, begot Uzziah. If you study yourself, you find out why. Right? So if we compare it with actual history, we will find out some gap between. So, as a reference only. As a reference only. So we don't know how many years exactly the human history is now. Because if we just based on Bible, this is a reference. Okay, so First Kings chapter 1, record from Adam to Noah, there were 10 generations. From Seth to Adam was another 10 generations. This is in First Kings chapter 1, huh? First Kings chapter 1. First Kings chapter 1, this is an example. It's a not the first king, no. It should be First Chronicles. Right? First Chronicle. I make a typo. First Chronicle. Not first king. Chapter 1 is recorded the genealogy of Adam. Right? He purposely put 10 generations. A special arrangement. Okay, so this so we cannot use the genealogy to calculate the whole life. Otherwise, we make mistake. So we don't have a sufficient material to calculate the actual years of human history. What men know were limited. So we only by believing that God was a God who is all knowing and make no mistake, then we can believe his word are complete without mistake. So this just gives us a mindset, also our mentality when we read Bible. So the purpose, actually, you have to see how salvation been embedded in this message. Okay, so this is a genealogy. So God is the creator of you, all whole humankind. So everything begins with him. So exactly how many years of human history, we don't know. We can guess. Scientists can also calculate their own answer. But to us, this is a reference. It doesn't conflict in one another. Because we believe all come from God anyway. Right? So either very old or very young, fine. So our belief will not be altered because of some so-called evidence. Okay. So we don't have to speculate about when or how long. So skip from this kind of debating. Let's continue in chapter 6. Chapter 6, this is the beginning of destruction because of sin. Okay, so remember chapter 4? Chapter 4. It's a lot of the Cain's descendants, right? How this human civilization developed. This is called, so-called the kingdom of human being. And in chapter 5, the genealogy of Adam, genealogy of descendant of Seth, belong to God. So now in chapter 6, we will see how eventually the children of God being influenced by the descendant of Cain. So it becomes a chaos. It becomes a mixture. And the result is destruction. So end up, the big flood come. And we see how God judged it. So this is the first judgment of sin. We will see the second, right? So this is a chaos of two kingdoms. From the beginning, we see how it been described. Let's turn to chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 4. Let's read. Brother Daniel Kim, 6, verse 1 to 4. Okay. So when men have multiplied, this is because of God's blessing, right? So the society, the social structure changed. We see how this space mentioned about then and daughters were born unto them. Daughters. Huh? So when they began to have sons and daughters, then the emphasis is this so-called humanism focused on the female. In Chinese, it's called 女性主义. 女性主义. Wow, female is so important. Nowadays, you can so many renowned or the remarkable female CEO, president, and all different kinds of talent. Right? Even better than male. So, in verse 1, already in that ancient time, already consider female may actually can do a lot of things more than men. But remember, God called them name, female and male, Adam. So, son of God, in verse 2, son of God. Refer to the elected descendants of Adam from this line of Seth. Right? This is called the Son of God. The sons of God. So those who have faith and fear God. In chapter 4, verse 25, we read it before. 25, 26. Then let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Verse 6 to 7. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. Sister. sister. Rebecca, Rebecca Chen, please. Thank you. Especially in verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. So we're supposed to give glory to God. So that's how we are the children of God. Because as a son, we glorify our father. So these sons of God, they fear God, they glorify God, they have faith in God. But how about the daughters of men? Daughters of men. Refer to those who do not fear God. Right? It's a contrast. They belong to the descendant of Cain. So they have been separated from the descendant of Seth to begin with. So in the beginning, these are two systems already. Just two different lifestyles. Descendants of Cain, they live in the cities, right? They have all different kind of entertainments. But how about descendants of Seth? Just we got daughter and son, right? And then work in the from the ground and earn living. Work with God, and that's it, and then die. It's so boring from our nowadays perspective. Every day, just do the same thing, the same style, same routine. But in Cain's descendants, they have all different kind of entertainment, different environment. So, you know, so different varieties. It's called the daughters of men. So, descendant of Seth and the descendant of Cain. Now, they have to be separated from beginning. But now, because the first desire. So they are willing to marry the daughter of man as wives. So this a corruption from the marriage. So they have children after this marriage. Actually, they produce this very, you know, giant. Their descendant actually also very remarkable. Right? So they became what? Because at all. They are so capable, and then they become violent, just like Lamech. So you see the inference from which side have stronger inference. From father's side or from mother's side? Huh? So that's why, you know, when we marry to someone, especially for brother, your future spouse is not from the church. Or if not, have same faith with you, then you will see basically the other party, the influence was stronger. Because, you know, if at home you don't have a happy wife, then you have no happy life. Right? It's true. If you have a happy wife, then your life is delightful because you have something to eat. Right? And then your wife will make you happy, also serve you. But end up if you were compromised, most of husbands compromise, make wives happy. So you lost faith. Are you going to be like that? Okay, so the daughter of men is on the systems of Cain, violent. But very intelligent. So this kind of giant, they appear. So the beginning of the union in marriage among the believing and the unbelieving result in what? Corruption. So the corruption of the children of God start with this union of marriage. So we have to work very hard, pray hard, you know, be submissive to God's principle, we always have to find out our spouse from the same faith. No matter where, maybe from different countries. But this is the goal. Yes, from different countries, different area, we may have differences in culture. So some sister, she married her husband in UK. She actually encountered a lot of so-called cultural shock because the lifestyle is different. The same way, someone married sister, a brother here from other countries, also cultural shock. Right? So the difference actually can be made. Actually can be smooth if we have same faith. We rely on the Holy Spirit. We have a submissive heart. We obey truth. Then eventually it becomes harmonious, a happy family. So the sister who encountered this cultural shock, now 4 or 5 years later, her life become so joyful. Because she developed a way to adapt the environment. She know how to get along with all different kind of thinking. So by God's grace, marriage actually is blessing. Okay? So we can overcome. But same faith is the baseline. The first time Eve was recalled the union in marriage among those who fear God and those who do not fear God, this is the corruption, the beginning of the corruption. So the result of this union is completely lost the testimony of being the son of God, right? So they totally give up their moral standard from God. No, they all follow the standard of the world. So they follow all of the Cain's line. It's just, okay, do whatever they want. It's we have too many. Let's continue next class. Okay, so let's kneel down and pray to conclude this morning class.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.